Brother Charles D. Williamson.
If you will, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul emphasized to the Corinthians, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." New things become a fascination to us. Individuals desire to buy new clothes, a new car, a new house. Also, new things provide a challenge to us. Interesting results come from new things. But Paul talked about something that was new, that so far as looking upon it outwardly, there may not be a great deal of difference except the effects that has been brought about by the change within the individual. He's talking about a change of the inner man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's quite significant that Paul did not say some things are become new, but that all things are become new. He actually is emphasizing that our minds, our hearts, our souls become new in Christ, renewed in dedication, renewed in spirit, but new because of a different relationship unto Almighty God. The phrase itself will fall into a natural outline for our lesson today. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word "if" presents to us a mountain. Many years ago, I heard Brother Fred Chun preach a sermon, "Mountains of If," and he emphasized how this little word presents us with a number of mountains that we must climb. And this word "if" sets up a clause that says, you may be in Christ or you may not be in Christ. But if you are in Christ, here are the results. The results, a new creature. If you do not choose to be in Christ, there will be no coercion upon you. God will not force His way into your life and mine. He stands at the door and knocks, but He will not crash that door down to enter our hearts. We must open the door. If any man be in Christ, we may be in Christ or we may not be. But also he said, if any man or any person be in Christ. I like that phrase because it stresses to me that the entire world is involved in this charge and in this blessing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. The invitation itself extended to all that are weary and are heavy laden and feel the weight and the load of the guilt of sin, and feel the burdens of life so weighting the person that a free course in the service of God cannot be rendered. Also in Revelation 22 and verse 17, the bride of the church, the bride and the Spirit say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. If any person, regardless of the color of his skin, regardless of the size of his bank account, regardless of the kind of house he lives in, regardless of where he might live geographically, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. Our Lord did not give a gospel that was limited in scope as to who it might embrace, but conditions upon which it can embrace anyone who desires the blessings of it. The Old Testament law given to the Jews, Deuteronomy 5, stressed the fact that it was a national religion. Our job in the gospel of Christ is not to Americanize a country, but to evangelize. It is not to force our customs upon others in some land, but to teach them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The religion of Christ is not a national religion. It is international in scope, worldwide in its blessing, and it can encompass all of those who will surrender themselves unto the Lord. But look again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The expression "in Christ" and "in Jesus Christ" can be found some 55 times in the New Testament. Almost all of these are found in Paul's epistles. In fact, I believe only one of them is found outside of Paul's writings. We should be able to study some of these expressions then and learn something about being in Christ. The passage before us says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You might think with me for a moment and a picture before you a huge circle. This circle would represent the scope of in Christ, the sphere of what it is to be in Christ. And then think about, as we begin to place in that circle, some of the blessings that are involved in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's been made anew. If any man be in Christ, all things pass away, and all things become new. But think with me again. Paul says, and as he writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation, having been brought into a saved relationship with God, is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Redemption is in Christ. The Apostle Paul stresses that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the power of darkness, into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. This passage, Colossians 1, 13 and 14, the redemption expression is found also in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. The word redemption means to set free by payment of ransom. When you redeem something, you pay the price that that object might be released. Someone is kidnapped. A ransom is put up, And when that ransom is paid, they are set free under ideal circumstances. But our Lord created the ideal circumstances that could come to pass. Thank you. And he emphasized that if any man be in Christ, the blessing can come of the salvation, of the redemption. Jesus paid the redemptive price. He set us free by paying the ransom. During the terrible days in the war between the states, the story is told of a happening that took place just before that war took place, that began to be shown during the war itself. And I firmly believe that one of the blights on our history is that of slavery. But the story history records for us that one day at a sale, there was a beautiful young lady being sold as a slave. A rich landowner paid a very high price for her, and then after the sale, she was introduced to her new master, and he handed her a paper. And he told her, "You are a free person. Here are your papers of freedom. I have bought you to set you free." The young lady was touched very deeply. And the record says that she clutched the paper, fell at his feet, and said, "Because you've set me free, I will serve you forever." I believe this is somewhat of the picture. We are the slaves to sin and Satan. We are slaves to self, motivated by the forces of Satan. And the Lord has bought us to set us free. But I'm afraid many of us have not turned in grateful acknowledgement of that freedom and said, "Because you've set me free, I'll serve you forever." In Christ Jesus also there is eternal life. This is the record that we have, and that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5 and verse 11. The beautiful expression by John emphasizes that we are permitted to participate in the stream and the joy of life that has the quality of eternality. We might forfeit our right to participate in that stream of eternal life by becoming disloyal and unfaithful in the service of God. And when this happens, we recognize the feature that the life is there. It's in Christ. But we have forfeited our right to become a part of it. But think with me for just a moment about the last expression. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What becomes new? In the first place, we wear the new name. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, Isaiah uttered the words that I believe are fulfilled. In the name of Christian, When he said, after the Gentiles have seen thy glory and kings thy righteousness, you'll be called by a new name, which the mouth of God shall name. The term saint is a good name, good expression. But they were called saints for many centuries. Child of God, a wonderful expression. Family of God, a wonderful expression. But the term Christian was given for the first time in the city of Antioch, recorded for us in Acts 11, the latter part of verse 26. When Barnabas brought Saul to Antioch, and for a whole year they continued. And the disciples were called Christians first. That is, for the very first time in Antioch. My friend, Christian is the distinctive name. Yes, we're saints. We're children of God. Part of the family of God. But the term Christian was never given before. It was given only after the Gentiles also had heard and had the privilege of becoming Christians, so that this would not become a problem in the Jews thinking this term was for them only. It was then that God called His people Christian. It means belonging to Christ in the verbal sense, living in the likeness of Jesus. He is our example, 1 Peter 2:21, that we should follow His steps. The word example there signifies a perfect pattern, and our trying to measure up to that pattern as nearly as we can. The figure that's drawn would be comparable to a teacher in a penmanship class putting the alphabet on a board or a word on a chalkboard, and a child going to that chalkboard and just under what the teacher has written, writing as nearly as possible exactly what the teacher has written, forming the letters in exactly the same way as nearly as possible, a pattern set out. An example that we should follow in His steps. Jesus is that pattern. He is that example that we should come as nearly as we can to being what He wants us to be. Thinking as He wants us to think. This is why all things are become new. The new birth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John 3 and verse 5. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. John 15, 6. Therefore, becoming new and remaining there is the task of the child of God. The new birth, a new way of thinking, a new aim in life. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. In the 6th chapter of Romans, when Paul raises the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not, or do you not know, that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul exhorted the young man Timothy, "Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, inequality. Depart from acting without law," is the literal meaning of the word iniquity. I'm afraid many of us who have named the name of Christ have not departed from iniquity. We have not patterned our lives to the point that no blame can ever be leveled against us in the service of the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Significantly also, in Romans 6, Paul said that we have been baptized into Christ, brought into that relationship with Christ, into His death, but also, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. I believe in verse 3, as he begins that thought and continues it through verse 4, that he's saying also that we are baptized into the death of our sins, because we're raised from that to walk the new life. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that we should henceforth no more serve sin. Salvation is found in Christ, not out of Christ. All things are become new in Christ. New thoughts, a new way of acting, a new aim, a new goal in life, a new ambition in life, a new family in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord. All things are become new. May I challenge you to look within, to examine well that which God knows, and see whether or not all things have become new in my life. If all things have become new as they're supposed to be, if I'm faithfully enduring, loyally serving, am I dedicated, consecrated to His cause? Or have I ever started that journey? Have I made the initial steps? Have I allowed the Lord's price that He paid to become effective in my life? He bought us to set us free. Will we accept the freedom that He offers? We pray that you will.